Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. Week 3 of the preseason, just 2 sleeps away, right here to get our last looks at Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, before the regular season kicks off. It's a big party here at the breakfast table. Another full slate of preseason action on NFL Network starting Friday night. It's the Vikings and Chiefs. I'll be there on the sidelines. I can't wait. Then a triple header Saturday. Wow, a triple header Sunday as well. 6 games in all Saturday and Sunday right here live on NFL Network. We'll be replaying all that action all weekend long. Hey, coming into Good Morning Football, it's time for the Lee Block.
Lee Block.
Let's do it. Despite leading his team to the playoffs every year he's been in the NFL and being named the MVP just 2 seasons ago, Lamar Jackson still has plenty of doubters. Take a listen to this exchange. This happened just yesterday.
Well, I don't know if you've heard this, but some unnamed team official said that this is the year that people are going to be able to figure out Lamar Jackson. Did you hear that? Or what would your reaction be if I didn't hear that?
I mean, I'm going to keep playing football. We're going to see. But I doubt it, dude. I doubt it. I strongly doubt it. We're going to play ball.
Figuring out Lamar Jackson is going to be pretty tough. The Ravens have ranked first in points per game, rushing yards per game since Lamar took over as a starter. That was back in 2018. Now it is 2021. So much has changed in the world of the NFL. Will this Ravens offense have the same success this season that we've seen?
Most definitely. Most definitely, for sure. It seems like yesterday when Joe Flacco was the starting quarterback and we were sitting there saying that the Ravens have this young QB in Lamar Jackson and we're not sure what type of quarterback he's going to be, and then he takes over. But let's take it back to 2019 when he was the starter. He was an absolute beast, and he hasn't let up since. And I've said this year in and year out, I truly believe that he's just now scratching the surface. They're going to be successful. So I'm tired of the narrative that, oh, you know, he needs to be a better passer. This offense, they really need more tight ends and more wide receivers. They have to go deep. You know what? They don't have to. Teams that can do what they do best, which is run the ball, will always be successful in the regular season, but more importantly, in the postseason. And the main reason I believe this offense is going to be as dominant because Lamar Jackson is going to rush for another 1,000 yards. He is the first quarterback to have multiple 1,000-yard seasons, and he is not going to give up on that superpower that he has on the field. So for me, coming in, grabbing 1,200 yards, 1,300 yards this season, being in the top 10 as a rusher, not just a great passer in this league, this is going to be Lamar Jackson's strength. Mm. For a long time in the NBA, we saw Vince Carter dunk on guys.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of his career, he started working back to the basket, mid-range and shooting threes. But that took a long time. Mm-hmm. We saw Vince dunk on dudes for a while. We're going to see Lamar Jackson run past defenses for the next 5 years because speed, it doesn't go away just like that.
I hope so. Last time we saw this team, they scored 3 points. Mm. 3 points. And they got blown out in a playoff game. I hope they don't have the same success. Same success is not enough. I don't want them to have the same anything. The problem with the Ravens they have is that if in Lamar's career, we're showing all these numbers, Lamar has one game where he has a double-digit comeback, where the Ravens got behind and Lamar said, let's go, and we get him. And the only time he's ever done that was his very last win. They got down 10 points to the Titans in the playoffs, and Lamar ran like a vapor trail through the middle of the field, and they won, and they come back. He's the one time he's done that. Mahomes has done it 5 times. Mahomes has done it 3 times in the playoffs. I just think the running thing is great until you get behind. Until the plan doesn't go like it is, until, oh my God, they're stopping us. Because here's the thing about this Ravens offense. It's awesome. It's fun to watch on highlights. It's fun to talk about. It can beat almost anybody on almost any day. But that's not good enough. That's good enough to get the divisional round, to get to the title round. This is a Super Bowl or bust team. There's 8 or 9 of them. Are you going to show anything? It's like, I feel like they are really good if they were in the octagon. They're great in stand-up, but their ground game, ironically, it's just they can get tapped out. Yeah. You know, like they need to adapt. And Nate, you're making the Vince Carter thing and the Michael Jordan thing. 32nd ranked passing offense. The worst. Can you give me 24th? I don't need 12th. I don't need 9th. You spent a sweet, precious first round pick on a wide receiver. I don't want to see the same movie again. I don't want to see another Fast and the Furious. They crash the car. We get it. In the end, it's all family. Like, we need something new because they haven't won anything. They haven't won anything. You have an MVP trophy and some wins, and you finally got a playoff win. Same anything? Can they just march out that same offense, Peter, and win a Super Bowl? To quote Lamar, I doubt it, dude.
I doubt it, dude. I like the dude part. And Lamar kind of like was like, all right, no, I haven't heard that, but I doubt it, dude, and I appreciate that. But the NFL is like trends, and what happens a lot of times is you see something for a season – defensive coordinators get in the lab and they spend all summer, and then by week one, it's like, oh, they've solved what we do. Mm. And we saw it with the Wildcat. We saw it with what Robert Griffin used to do. It's not the case with the Ravens. Like, Lamar, 2018, comes in and takes his team on this crazy run to the playoffs. Everyone thought 2019, week one, would be like, all right, we solved it. Like, we'd spent all, he goes and has an MVP season. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is because they know what they do, and they do it well, and they're not trying to hide it. They're very deliberate with what they are. They know that you know what they are, and it's kind of cool that they look at you in the face and say, yeah, we're well aware. We're going to smack the snot out of you.
This is our identity.
This is what we do. You have to stop us. Mm-hmm. And for 2 years, teams haven't. Is this the year that the other shoe drops? Is this the year that they take a step backwards, that Lamar suddenly needs to become a better passer?
No.
Maybe. Maybe is. But it would take a massive drop-off for this team to suddenly not be able to block like they have been, and for Lamar not suddenly run like he did. Like, Ronnie Stanley's health matters. Orlando Brown not being there matters. But at the end of the day, Lamar's going to get his rushing yards. Dobbins is going to get his rushing yards. And you're going to get Ricard and Boyle and Ben Mason smashing faces. That's what they do, and mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to drop off at all.
But should it change? Should it try to get better, I think, is the book. There's a weird, like, growth definition of insanity thing, like, yeah, they are who they are. It's very cool. They're in your face. We don't have any tricks. But, like, you need those tricks. You having a more balanced attack helps the run game be harder to defend because there's other stuff going on out there. You said the other day, Peter, they might break their own record for a single season rushing with Lamar and J.K. I don't want to see that happen. I want, like, get the passing game going. Make it happen. So, to your point, I know it's not going to drop off, but is everything you're saying in that full screen and those fullbacks going to make them better? Is it going to get them where they need to go?
I think it's the best utilization of Lamar's skills. And that's nothing
that's
against
great,
Lamar.
Yeah.
But I think when you have this guy, like, to suddenly say, okay, we have to be balanced because at some point, I think at this point, this is what the offense is.
What about the adding new punches thing, though? That's the same punches.
Look, there is an absolute argument to be made saying, you did draft a wide receiver in the first round. It's not like you're not trying.
Like, and added one, yeah.
And you could say, hey, you did spend money on Sammy Watkins, so you can't tell me that you're just going to run the ball. You have to throw the ball. I think at the end of the day, that's what they are, though. And they've built their entire roster around it with all those fullbacks and tight ends. And no one else was drafting Ben Mason where they drafted him. But they're like, he works in our offense. He's mm-hmm. a Raven. That's mm-hmm. what it is. So, mm-hmm. Kay, it's a great point. Look, at the end of the day, they scored 3 points in the playoff game. And at some point, Lamar's going to have to make a big pass. And he did last year in the Monday night game. And he did against the Titans at one point in the playoff game. But this is not like every other offense. They are a unicorn. They run their own thing, and it is smash mouth.
And it works in the regular season.
It works great.
Number one.
But my concern is, okay, they went 12-5, and they lost in a divisional round. Like, that. This team, the expectations are higher. 12-5, any of it, it's fine. It's just like the three teams, okay, in the playoffs, that we in the AFC that we all really like, I think, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Tennessee. Those are the last two teams that knocked them out, and the Chiefs tune them up every single time. They got down 14 to the Bills. There was zero chance they were coming back.
No spark.
There was no chance that was ever going to happen. Mahomes gets down 14. He's like, no big deal. It's fine. I got this. I just worry you get behind in one playoff game after you ripped off 13 wins in the regular season. It's like, well, let's just run it with our tight ends. And well, we can't. It's over.
And it's a fair point.
We need
point.
Some lightning.
It's a fair point.
You know, what's the 3rd-and-12 factor with Lamar?
Nate, defend Lamar's passing run because I can't. I can't say that Lamar's going to come out there and light up the skies if he has to. That's just not what he is.
30 seconds.
Well, I don't need to defend Lamar's passing arm because he's a good passer.
Is he? He's certainly not one of the best in the league.
They don't ask him to pass the ball. So just like we're talking about Baker Mayfield and the Browns, we keep bringing up his touchdown to interception ratio. He has Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in the backfield, so we can't compare him to Patrick Mahomes or even Josh Allen. But what I'm saying is, if he has the same punch, okay, he doesn't need to add combinations if he's increasing his punching power. So if they're adding elements that's going to make this run game even stronger and defense can't handle it, we'll see what happens again in the playoffs.
Why aren't they passing then? I don't know. Like, if he's got the arm and he can, like, why wouldn't they want a multidimensional attack? It's like what everybody in the NFL wants. And then their strengths, obviously his strengths is what they do in bolster. Why can't they get the pass game going if he can do it?
I just feel like they go into each game knowing that they want to run the ball.
Yeah.
And then when they face a team that has their game plan set on stopping the run, mm-hmm. they have a tough time adjusting. The coaches have to do a better job adjusting in the postseason.
I would argue all that running the ball, all it is, that's why they never down by double digits. Like, they just control.
No, I know for sure. It's a good problem to have.
That's their strategy. So you're not going to fall behind 21 points if you're holding, if you've got a huge time possession advantage.
But what happens if you do?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? The AFC playoffs are brutal.
Got to get over that hump, and passing game is probably the way to do it. Justin Fields is trusting his head coach to make the right decisions this season. Which quarterback is right for the Bears? We'll talk about that next right here on Good Morning Football.
I was always looking for that waiver wire. Who might be better than our last five or six? And that's every single year. That's what I always tell them. Don't celebrate after the first day of cuts, because somebody might still get your job. And don't go buy a house, that's for damn sure. You might want to stick around for a couple weeks first. But that's been the way it's always been.
I think if, you know, the players of a team don't buy into what a coach has to say, then that team's not going to be successful. So I pretty much have no choice. That's what it's going to come with the most success is me trusting in, you know, Coach Nagy and his plan and me just getting better every day. So that's ultimately why I'm trusting him, because, of course, you know, we all want the same thing. We all want to win games. So there's no reason for me not to trust him.
Can we just get him at the podium for, like, hours at a time? Love hearing the young rookie Justin Fields out of Chicago talk and address the media and his thoughts. And his coach, Matt Nagy, said that Justin Fields is going to start in the preseason finale against the Titans, a game that you can see this Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on NFL Network. Kyle, what do you want to see from Justin Fields against the Titans? He's getting a lot of play, which means he will not be playing week one.
What would I like to see from Justin Fields against the Titans? You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see a handoff to David Montgomery. A handoff. And then on the next play, I'd like to see play action and a throw to Allen Robinson. I'd like a fade down the left sideline. I'd like to do it behind Cody White here and James Daniels, our starting guards, but I'm not going to see it because Justin Fields is not allowed to play with the Bears starters, hasn't been. But tell me what's wrong with this picture. Trevor Lawrence, first team offense. Justin Fields, no. No first team offense whatsoever. Zach Wilson, first team offense. Mac Jones, first team offense. Trey Lance, first team offense. Justin Fields, not allowed. No snaps, no time out there with the first teamers. He's throwing to guys who are going to be real estate agents this fall. And why? Why? Because he's behind Brett Favre or Alex Smith or even Jimmy Garoppolo? No, he's not allowed to play with the first team because, heaven forbid, anyone rock the boat that's captained by Andy Dalton, who has played as many meaningful snaps for the Chicago Bears as Justin Fields has. Make it make sense. You can't do it. And I can't believe we're here. It's actually happening. Andy Dalton's going to start the opener. I think he's going to play the whole thing. It's actually happened. And Justin Fields, what do I want him to see in that preseason game? I don't know. Protect yourself, duck, and then get off the field because there's no starters to protect you. And I can't believe it's happening. And I can't make any sense of it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I want to see him play with the ones. It's very simple.
Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
You know, I can't ask you to, evaluate Justin Fields when he's playing with twos and threes and then compare him to Andy Dalton if Andy Dalton is playing with the ones. I want to see him protected by that offensive line where he can run around and have time. I want to see him throw to the quarterback. I want to see him throw to the wide receivers and tight ends that will be starters this season. That's the only way an open competition works. We see this across the league, a rotation of QBs, quarterbacks going in and out, Trey Lance rotating with Jimmy Garoppolo coming in after Trey Lance. But yet still, Matt Nagy is steadfast on not seeing him play with. I'm absolutely perplexed on how he can look at Justin Fields and not think that giving him a fair opportunity to be a starter makes sense for a squad.
Doesn't it tell you?
And I fear that if this doesn't go the way that the team wants it to go, you could lose the locker room before the season even starts.
Wow.
It's happened before. This wouldn't be the first time.
I'm trying to play devil's advocate on it.
Got anything?
There's got to be another take. It can't just be all of us saying play Fields. And my only thing is that Andy Dalton might be doing better things behind closed doors that we don't see every day. And it's the stuff in the room, and it's the stuff that we see on the field and the practice field that doesn't show up in the preseason game. Andy Dalton has not been good this preseason. He's not been terrible, but it's been three and out, turnover on downs, interception, one touchdown on an amazing catch by a young man last week. Fields has been really good. Fields might not have it all up there yet as far as playbook goes and as far as our best chance to win in week one and as far as, hey, we're going to lead a team into Los Angeles and try to beat the Rams. I'm not there at practice. It's a shame. I'm not. But I can't tell you that it's been anything out of Chicago where the players are coming out of the press conference like, oh, my God, Justin Fields is blowing out Andy Dalton. What's going on? There's a mutiny going on. I have to think that the coaching staff wants to win games also and they want to do what's best for the team. And that they don't think Justin Fields is just ready yet. He's going to be good. They're very positive. You see the way he plays and speaks. He's an unbelievable ambassador of the sport based on what we know of him. But maybe it's just not now. Maybe Dalton gives them a better chance to win, and maybe Dalton's more ready to play in week one than Justin Fields.
And if they get wins over the Rams week one, week two, week three, and then Andy Dalton gives the job away, Justin Fields comes in, takes over, and crushes it for the next 5 years for Chicago, we'll all be like, all right, Nagy, we saw what you were doing. If he comes out and performs well, him not starting with the ones or not getting any time with the run, your face is so Chicago.
I'm not sure about this topic. I'm sorry. Please do your bit. I have so many things to say.
Do you have faith that Nagy, I guess to me it's like the better Fields plays in this third preseason game, the shorter the leash is for Andy Dalton. And I would like to give that sort of confidence behind Matt Nagy that, yes, he was steadfast in his principles. I don't think he was out there with the runs like Trey Lance and everybody because it wasn't an open competition. It never was. They came out and said, Andy Dalton's QB1. Mm-hmm. They made that decision a long time ago. We've been along for the ride trying to make it a competition since. Do you have faith that Matt Nagy, if Andy Dalton fails, mm-hmm. if he falters, that he will make the change at the appropriate time? Or are you worried that it's like Andy Dalton for the first 7 weeks? Don't talk to me about it.
No, I think, look, if they come out and lose the opener and lose the second one, yeah, I think I do have faith in that.
Early in the season.
Yeah, I think so. I have no doubt that Andy Dalton is a total pro in the meetings and the practice. And I think that's reflected in a lot of what Justin Fields is saying about him and all his press conferences. He loves him. It's like, it's a funny thing in this game. You have to play well in the games. And we saw this with Trubisky. Great teammate, great hard work ethic, did everything right in the community, checks every box. And then there's this little box in the end where you have to play well on Sunday, and that really trumps all the other stupid cockamamie little boxes. So there's theories now about why is Nagy so insistent? And, like, people are saying, well, maybe when they signed Dalton, they sat down and had a conversation. Nagy said to him, you're going to be the guy. We may do some things here in the draft, but you will be our starter. And now he doesn't want to renege on that. And he feels like he owes him as a man. But, I mean, Jesus, you got to play well. I don't care about
that theory. Andy was replaced by Ryan Finley in the middle of the season and was like, what's going on at Cincinnati? Andy Dalton knows the game. You can't, as a coach, put the entire team and your organization and $1 billion business on the line and say, well, I gave him my word. Like, that can't be the reason
why. What's the better theory, though?
The better theory that he gives him a better chance to win out of the gates.
Based on what he's showing in practice?
Practice and where Justin Fields might be at. Yeah. I haven't spoken to
him. And we don't know. We don't know how much of the playbook Justin Fields actually has a grasp
on. He hasn't played with the one, so that's fair to you to say that, but maybe they believe that he's not there just yet.
Why does Trey Lance get to play with the ones and Mac Jones gets to play with the ones, but Fields, no, do not, you're not allowed. What is that?
Got a bit of a trade situation going on across the NFL world. The Patriots trading Sony Michel to the Rams for 2 draft picks, a source says. Long-anticipated trade that fills a big need in L.A. A lot of talk of, we don't need a veteran running back out there. They lose Cam Akers to a ruptured Achilles for the entire season. He's about 5 weeks removed from suffering that injury. I thought he was the best rusher in the NFC West, Trags, and now we have a veteran, Sony Michel, who maybe will find some new blood behind a good offensive lineup.
Quick note here. Darrell Henderson banged up his thumb in practice. And also the Rams running back coach is a guy named Thomas Brown, who is a UGA legend at running back.
Oh, cool.
Guess where Sony Michel went to school?
UGA. They play Gurley with.
He wants to play for him. Sony, this has been whispered for a couple weeks now that they've got this loaded backfield and Sony might want to have a new start. So they give him that opportunity. The Patriots trade him to the Rams. It's a good fit for both teams.
Yeah, and he's had some moments, right? Catching out of the backfield. We know that Sean McVay likes those versatile running backs that you can use in the screen game. And I feel like he's going to have a fresh start out there. And they need him. You know, I love the fact that Sean McVay and the Rams had a need. They went out there. They sought after a trade. The Patriots, who have 15 running backs, mm-hmm. like, yeah, we got one you can take.
Yeah, and his name is not Ramondre Stevenson. You can't have him. He's been great in the preseason. I'm sure this has some ripple effect on this.
Oh, yeah.
Another first-round pick for the Patriots that went away and didn't work out. God, they're weird with that stuff.
He's taken 31st overall by the Patriots. That was back in 2018. So this doesn't happen without our guy Ramondre.
That's
and his
right.
4 touchdowns through 2 games.
Mr. August.
Is he the guy?
Yep.
At GMFB, let us know how you feel.
All right, we're all buzzing here in studio. If you do not know, it is our brother Nate Burleson's last week in this exact fashion on the show. So we are breaking out all of these surprise guests. You never know who's going to drop by. And we have one right now that we're very excited about. The most important thing about this gentleman is that he played 2 years with Nate Burleson. He's the only person to ever call Nate Burleson Nate Dumbison. He's also one of the greatest athletes in any sport ever in the history of mankind. Ladies and gentlemen, Randy Moss. Let's go! What's up, Randy?
Look at this guy.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, y'all. What's happening with you?
What's going on? What's up, Moss? How you doing, bro?
Bruh, I had to surprise you, bro. I watch you mostly every morning. Good morning, Shreg and the team. But man, you've done a hell of a job, and I know you're moving on, man. So I just wanted to just come on before you leave up out of here, man, to just show you some love.
I appreciate that, man. It means a lot.
Randy, let's get into this. So 2003, you're with the Vikings, of course. The team drafts this skinny little wide receiver out of Nevada, third round pick, but he joins you and Dante to form one of the best aerial attacks in the league. Before we get into it, Randy, here's a look back at some moments that you and our brother Nate shared on the sidelines.
Now defense got to come through. We get the ball back, you make another play. You got one more in you?
Yeah, I need the ball, man. That's what I do, man.
I feel you.
That's what I do.
I feel you. We gonna get you that rock. Hey, NFL
Phil. Right now. Tell
I told y'all in the
Tell
first quarter.
Okay.
Any team
okay.
that wanna play the Minnesota Vikings one-on-one single
okay.
safety,
okay.
we will end your game quick.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember that.
Believe that.
Randy, we're laughing. You're laughing. What comes to mind when you look at this stuff and you think about playing with Nate?
I just remember just Nate just coming in, and I think that myself and the Viking fans were just wondering where the help was going to come from in the passing game. And I know that Nate had a hell of a career. He did disappoint. And, you know, we had high expectations for us. As you see all the trash talking between myself, Kelly Campbell, and Nate himself. So we had a lot of fun and just been able to just bring energy to the game, bring energy to practice. We had a lot of fun, man. So just being able to, you know, see Nate transition over to an analyst and him seeing me transition over to an analyst is just what makes times like that so special.
Randy, I'll do anything to be on that bench with Kelly Campbell, you, and Nate Burleson, and be in that wide receivers room. What a group. Throwing Matthew Hatchett and the rest.
Yeah.
You guys had a really cool crew out there. Love seeing you on our show. It's cool taking the time away from ESPN to join NFL Network for a moment. And we saw that game, that wild card win in Lambeau. You guys were the second team in the history of Lambeau Field to go in there and win a game in that postseason. You had two touchdowns in that game. Nate scored a touchdown. Randy, I want to start with you. Talk about that win and what that meant for your organization and your locker room when you guys went into Lambeau Field and beat Brett Favre and the Packers in that huge, huge battle.
Well, just like I said, I just remember just the game and this the importance. And you're seeing Nate right here being able to stiff arm a guy and getting up that left sideline right there. And just remember the performance that he had and just going back in the locker room and just having his yards after the catch is one of the things that really stands out to me. And as you can see, his touchdown right there over the middle, I think it was a skinny post. Him being able to just be a part of the Vikings and for us to be able to team up. Like I said, I really had some uncertainty because when you're talking about guys like Hatchett and Jake Reed and Hall of Famer Chris Carter leaving the team is kind of like, well, I know I'm getting doubled and triple coverage, but where's the help going to come from? So, like you said, a third round pick out of Nevada, Reno. You know, Nate Burleson came in and started high-stepping, and we had a lot of fun, man. That's why, like I say, just seeing us just transitioning over to another part of our life and knowing that he's moving on up there. And, Nate, don't forget the little people when you get up there to the top. You know, but like I said, man, it's all fun. It's all love. And like I said, just being able to just look back at clips like that and just seeing, you know, both of us happily married, loving family, loving wife and kids, man. It's a joy to see.
Yep.
It really is. I mean, 2 years together, 12 touchdowns for Burleson, including over 1,000 yards receiving. That one was in 2004. You're saying all these nice things about him. So I ask you, Randy, why did you call my buddy here, Nate Dummison? Do you remember calling him this? And tell me more about that.
Well, I think that Dummison had to come just being a rookie. And I think just making rookie mistakes. And I think that just for me, you hear teachers always talk about being in the classroom and studying on the board. But I think that, you know, certain athletes need to be on the field to be able to learn also. So I think just us getting to know one another, getting to get a better understanding of of what buttons we can push and what buttons we can't. So dummy sent us just something that just hit, clicked, and we ran with it. But you know, I've always talked about, every time I talk to Nate off camera, as always, he did this funny impression of some guy back in Seattle. He used to call himself Nerp Nerp. Nerp Nerp. You remember that?
Nerp.
I got you. Hold on.
Do it.
Oh, my God.
There's no Nerp Nerp right there.
And he loves it.
So,
Nerp Nerp.
So, like I said, it was just all fun and game. And, you know, you playing in the National Football League, man, it's not always business like, you know, 24/7. Some ways you got to have find ways to put humor into the game and also have fun. And, you know, the time that me and Nate spent together was definitely something I'll never forget.
We love it, and we want to tap into it. Randy, you're renowned for your recall and your storytelling. We're going to bring up two photos of you and Dumison together, and then we're going to – I want you to guess what he was saying to you at the time, or if you remember what you were actually talking about, share it with us. Here's photo number one, or you can make it up, whatever you want. Photo number one of Moss and Burleson. What comes to mind, Randy?
That clip right there is probably something laughing. I just told you about being able to put some humor into the game. So I was probably either laughing at something our coach, Charlie Baggett, probably said something crazy, or him probably doing something nerpish to get our day started.
Oh, my God.
All right, Nerp Nerp is trending worldwide. We love it. Picture number two of Moss and Burleson. Take this one away, Randy. What comes to mind here?
Just looked like, you know, one of us has scored a touchdown. It looks like we're in Detroit is what it looks like to me. But it just looked like one of us has scored a touchdown and just, you know, just coming and just showing our brother some love and appreciation. So, like I said, man, it was just, you know, I had high expectations for us any year that I played. And just having a guy like Nate coming in where, now these rookies are coming in first round picks and they don't even know if they're going to play or not. Nate came in as a third round pick and was thrown in the fire right away. So, like I said, it was just more of some uncertainty and not knowing, you know, what we were going to get in Nate. And like I said, man, we hit the ground running from OTAs and training camp. He had a hell of a career, made some big plays throughout his career. And like I said, just him making the transition and moving on up from Good Morning Football to a bigger stage, man, is definitely a blessing.
No doubt about it. Randy, I appreciate you calling in. It really warms my heart. You know, a lot of people had Randy misunderstood, didn't talk much. He would do things in the community and didn't want the cameras to show up. Mm-hmm. And the organization would say, hey, Randy, we want to send some cameras to see you talking to the kids or giving backpacks and jackets away. And say, nah, I don't do it for all of those reasons. So right away, I knew that he was a genuine person. And Randy would be more of a leader and a coach to the young players than some of our coaches were. Mm-hmm. So when I share stories about me growing up and maturing, I always go back to a lot of the things that Randy told me. Car rides on our way to an autograph session. When he was hurt, he bumped into me and he said, hey, you got a few weeks before I'm back healthy. Get your rocks, catch as many balls as you can, because when I come back, this is my team again.
You already know.
I remember being on the sideline. Of course. Right. I remember being on the sideline and seeing Randy in Oakland. And I'm playing in Seattle. Uh-huh. And I dapped him up. And he leaned in right before the game and he said, now it's your time. You're not playing in my shadow anymore. Uh-huh. Go out there and prove that you're worth every dollar. These are things that only a big brother would say to his little brother, pushing him for greatness. And I remember when he was inducted to the Hall of Fame, I said, congratulations, I love you. And you doing your thing in TV. And this is a prime example of me still walking in your footsteps. So, Randy, thank you so much, man. I don't think I tell you enough how much you meant to me. When people call me a big brother and all these young wide receivers that I've mentored over the years, that's only because I had guys like you and Marcus Robinson to look at and lead me along the way. So I appreciate you calling in, bro, for real.
No doubt, Nate. Hey, man, the feeling is mutual, man. And I definitely wouldn't be a husband if I didn't do this, but I want to send a shout out and a happy birthday to my lovely wife, Miss Lydia Moss. Man, happy birthday, baby. I know you watching me and Nate and the Good Morning Show this morning. So, baby, enjoy your birthday.
Happy birthday. That's what's up. Happy birthday, Lydia. Appreciate you, Randy.
Randy, go fish.
Hey, appreciate y'all, man.
Always fishing.
Hey, I'll be out there in a few hours, Shrey. God bless you guys, man.
Thanks I know you will. You're the best, dude. Thank you.
More awesome Good Morning stuff. Football
I
on the way.
It.
Wasn't that fun?
It was awesome.
Wasn't that fun, dummy sin?
Great job.
With Cam out this week, there's a big opportunity on the table for Mac Jones. Will he make the most of it? We'll talk Patriots after this.
I do have to say, Randy, amazing, legend, credible that he came on the show. Still no Calvin Johnson? We 5 years in, you can't get Calvin Johnson
I've
on the show?
I've asked him time and time again.
What does he
say? He's always said yes. He's just like, we have to schedule it. And once it gets to scheduling, I don't schedule things. I try to pass it off to people.
So if you were to FaceTime him in the 9 o'clock hour, he'll answer?
Yeah, I'll text him and tell him. But we might as well get him on Zoom and have him.
If he'll do it.
I'd love that.
We'll see.
Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt, my name is Kay Adams. It is time for the lead block.
Lead block.
Cam Newton absent from Patriots practice due to a misunderstanding of the NFL's COVID-19 protocols for testing away from club facilities. He returns to the team on Thursday. That's a 5-day absence. It's only required for unvaccinated players. Bill Belichick was asked about Cam and the rest of his quarterback room just yesterday.
He learned as much virtually as being on the field, or does that put him at a disadvantage not to be out here on the field for a couple of days?
Yeah, of course. If we couldn't get anything by practicing, then why do we practice?
The fact he's not here, does it change your view of where things stand at that position?
Yeah, we'll evaluate everything the way we always do, based on the information we have.
Big opportunity for Mac Jones this week. I mean, everybody, it all...
It is.
Mac gets like more reps, yeah, more opportunities to sort of close the gap. I don't know how big that gap even is between Mac Jones and Cam Newton. I ask you, Kyle, how will Cam's absence impact the Patriots quarterback competition?
Mm-hmm.
Question mark?
Yeah, maybe. That clip seems like every other Belichick clip in the history of time until the very end.
Until the very end.
And we all kind of lit up when we saw it. And he doesn't say that. Normally, we'll evaluate. He says it is. Actually, yeah, it is a big opportunity, which is an effusive, gushing answer for Bill Belichick. That means that was a concession on his part that, yeah, there's some stakes here in what's going on. And there should be. There's a million ways to go about this. I have to say, personally, I find it asinine and really frustrating that this is happening because Cam Newton is unvaccinated, particularly as a player who had COVID last year. And just let me take aside the politicizing of vaccines, which I'm not interested in right now. There's a strategic thing here. The rules are the rules that the NFL set down. And if you're not vaccinated, you have to comply by these rules or you're going to have issues. And this is not the slot receiver or the tight end three. It's the QB1 who now it happened. All right, there's some time before the season starts and maybe he'll recover and be fine. But like, who's to say it's not going to happen again? And I guess I'm very frustrated, too, because set the vaccine aside and COVID aside, there's been so much goodwill with Cam lately. And it's like, you know, we joke, it's the Camassance. He's back. He's the great teammate. Mac and cheese. It's all smiles. And, like, this gets back to the it's always something with Cam. Like, you can't go 6 months without Cam doing something that makes you pull your hair out or saying something that makes you roll your eyes. I'm doing both about this. And as far as Mac Jones coming in and taking the job, look, if it happened during game week, it's nuclear. There's still a couple of weeks left, so maybe not. Like, we sat here after the last preseason game and said, Cam's closed the book. It's over. Cam's starting. He looked really good. His arm looked live. It's over. Can Mac Jones actually come in with a couple of good practice days and steal the starting job? I think probably not. I'm just so frustrated personally. I know I'm all over the map with this take, but, like, where the hell are we with this?
Will it factor into Belichick's decisions later? Like, will this impact just the way it all went down and was handled?
There's a question about whether you can rely on Cam. So, yeah, maybe. And, like, can the teammates rely on him? All the guys in the locker room? Are the fans into this? Do people have Cam Newton jerseys in Foxborough? Is there one Patriots fan who's like, I'm in on Cam, I'm way in? Or is it like, I roll, get Mac Jones out there? Because that's starting how I'm starting to feel.
You know, and Kyle, I'll echo you on what the Patriots preach is accountability.
Okay.
Do your job. Whether you believe in the vaccine or not, or you want to take the vaccine or not, Belichick's top priority is likely winning football games. So this is just a competitive advantage that if you're available to him for 5 days of practice, it gives you a lot better chance and the team a lot better chance. So I think he's visibly frustrated. I thought the Patriots took the high road with that statement yesterday saying it was a misunderstanding of the COVID test. Well, I assure you it wasn't a misunderstanding on the Patriots side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, essentially, Cam thought you could take a COVID test off-site on the facility. You had to be in the building. And this is an example of what it's going to be like this season for the unvaccinated players. And Cam Newton's going to be fine. He's not going to be cut. Maybe he'll lose the job to Mac Jones because of it. I don't know any of that. But for the guys who are the 43rd guy on the roster, mm-hmm. the 48th guy mm-hmm. on the roster,
coaches won't have any tolerance for this. They, I can't do this with you on Zoom. And so if anything, it's an example of the frustration that Belichick showed right there. Imagine you weren't a guy to sure fire make the team. That's what you have to be thinking about right now. It's happening across the league. And, you know, the unvaccinated player, based on the rules by the NFL and the NFLPA, is at a great disadvantage this season because it's such a thin wire. You don't even have to get COVID. You just have to be near someone to have COVID. Mm-hmm. And then you have to miss 5 days because of the close contacts and the way the protocols are. Mm-hmm. Not politicizing this. We're not going there. It is just a clear competitive advantage for the player who is vaccinated over the player who is unvaccinated. In this case, he's in a quarterback race with a rookie who everyone thinks is really coming on strong. Mm-hmm. And now they've got three practices with the Giants. And it's going to be this and guess who's getting all the number one?
Mac
Jones. Mm-hmm. It can only help Mac Jones. It can only hurt Cam Newton.
Yeah, shout out to Mac and Cheese. This is a great opportunity. This is what football is all about. Regardless of it being Cam Newton sitting out because of COVID, if it was an injury, if it was any type of mistake that Cam made on the field and Mac Jones had an opportunity to play with the ones at practice and in the last preseason game. But getting back to Bill Belichick, he's usually very monotone. And, you know, just call it what it is. Boring to listen to. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like playing that game, answering dumb questions, if you will, for a lack of better words, from reporters. He'll give you the same type of response in the question that you ask.
Right.
If it's not a good question, he's not going to give you a good answer. But the last, it is. Like, to me, that was almost the most spirited thing I've ever heard him say.
I know what you mean.
Very emphatically.
You're right.
You know,
Two words, it is.
It is. And it was the quickest response. And it's almost like he said it with an energy that we don't usually hear from Bill Belichick. So for Mac Jones, he has to hear that as well. And when I always say coaches and players, they don't talk to the media. They're talking to their team. So he was talking to Mac Jones, and he was also talking to Cam Newton in that response, saying, this is a great opportunity. You want me to translate this for you? Mm-hmm. This is a great opportunity for Mac Jones. And if he does what he needs to do, he can easily win the starting position and be our starter in week one because of Cam Newton sitting out a handful of days due to COVID.
It's well said, at GMFB, with your thoughts on this, of course. You know, I don't know how if he's endeared himself to the fan base. I think you think maybe no. I know the media likes him. I'd love to hear from fans. Mm. Patriots fans, you don't hit us up often enough anyway. Let us know how you feel about this Cam Newton situation. Eagles receiver Jalen Reagor had some high praise for his quarterback, Jalen Hurts, heading into the matchup.
That's the captain. So he got to lead us for sure. And I just believe it. And I feel like he has a big chip on his shoulder. So, and the way he, you know, he talks about it, the way he's very intentional. I mean, just on the bus ride over here, he was just like, man, I'm in that mode. So I really think he's going to have a huge year. He's going to shock a lot of people.
Okay.
I like it. Reagor referring to Hurts as the captain there. Now, although Hurts may have not proven himself just yet to everyone, especially the national media, national fans, he seems to already command the Eagles locker room. We love to see that, especially there in Philadelphia, where there were questions about leadership in years past. So, guys, how much do we value and should the Eagles value leadership when it comes to their quarterback spot?
This guy, the first word is leader.
Yep.
In general, admiral, everything. And that was this whole deal out of college, too, at Alabama, at Oklahoma. No one's questioning Jalen Hurts' leadership. That guy can lead an army of men. That's just what he is. Here comes the inevitable but. Can he play football? Can he throw a football? Can he play quarterback in the NFL? Yes, we know he can. And there's a good chance this guy has a 15-year NFL career. But is he a starter? And is he the long-term starter for the Philadelphia Eagles? He has every opportunity in the world to slam the door on those questions this season. It's his job. Yet, they have two first-round picks next year. They get another first-round pick if Wentz magically plays 70 snaps, and they could quickly just pull the switch on this and say, we're out on this. Look, they weren't 1-3 with him last year. It's not like he lit up the skies and did anything. He played well. He did fine. But I think we need to see it. Look, Case Keenum's a leader, and Drew Stanton's a leader, and
Andy Dalton.
Tyrod Taylor is a leader, and Andy Dalton's a leader. Yeah. Doesn't mean they're a QB1 in the NFL. No. So leadership, no one's questioning that. We got to see it now on the field.
That's what we kept hearing Joe Judge say about Daniel Jones. Great leader, great fighter.
Tough.
Can you play? Yeah, tough. That's awesome. So I think two rookie quarterbacks are going to start this year, which means we have 30 non-rookies. Out of the 30, this is by far the most mysterious of all of them. It's ranked number one. We don't know this guy. I'm kind of echoing what Peter's saying. And it's not just that we don't know him. We've seen guys that we don't know. There's weird wrinkles. Like the last time he played in a game, he was pulled out of it by his head coach in the middle of a Week 17 game that the Eagles were battling in. And this is the infamous Nate Sudfeld game that there were a lot of conspiracy theories. He's just pulled. And, like, his facial expression, you can read it all day. Like, he's just as puzzled and maybe as frustrated as we are. Weird, weird game. And then, okay, it's gone. We have a change of head coach. All right, let's see him in the preseason. Uh-oh. Here we go. Uh-oh. NFL Network. We got him in the warm-ups. He's throwing it around, and he looks great. And then he was pulled. We didn't get to see him again because he had some sort of upset tummy or something, a non-COVID illness, even though this is moments before the – what in the hell? So on top of that, Peter, I don't know if he can play. Like, if you just look at what he's put on tape, he started four games. He's won one of them. And I know the Eagles last year weren't great, but look, the numbers aren't great either. Like, it's 51 completion, 77. This is not great. And yet, it's his kingdom. He has the keys to the castle. The teammates seem to love him. Go get him, Jalen. I guess my point is, like, the Eagles might win 12 games this year, and they might win two. Mm. I don't know, because he is the most mysterious quarterback we have. I feel like we know Wilson and Lawrence who are going to start more than we know Jalen Hurts, which doesn't even make sense.
You didn't even bring up Sirianni.
Yeah.
The biggest mystery part of this, your quarterback and your coach. You're like, what are we?
A first-time head coach, too,
crazy.
With this. Like, my last point, is he playing a lot in the last preseason game? He has to. He hasn't played at all. Right. But if he plays, you got to put out the Eagles' first O-line, and you got to put the Eagles' receiver. So that's very complicated.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is very complicated. Listen, he is a leader.
Yeah.
To Schrag's point.
What's going on?
Listen, you saw him in college. The dude was leading vocally. He's in the weight room going crazy, putting up pounds. And we're like, oh, this dude is for real. Then he gets on the football field in the NFL, and he has that it factor. Like, Jalen Hurts has that it factor. He's in a perfect position to lead this team. But I was once told a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way.
Okay.
But can you make the play? After play.
That's big.
After play. After play on game day. That's what we want to see. That's what we want. That's what Eagles fans want. And in his defense, as far as his numbers not being great towards the end of the year, which they're not, you showed that graphic, and it's perfect in this conversation to put that up. The team was unraveling at that point.
I know.
There was a lot going on.
Yeah.
I mean, the fans turned against Wentz. Guys were banged up. And I'll just keep it a buck. There were a few dudes on that roster that were straight up mailing it in. I just feel like the team is bought in and they have the right pieces. So I feel like he has an opportunity in this last piece of the game, if he's surrounded by the starters, to slam that door. Yeah. And then week one will be the coming out party for Jalen Hurts. I don't believe there's any other quarterback in a better situation than Jalen Hurts is. New head coach, you can win him over. You got a team that believes in a young quarterback that wants to, desperately wants to believe in somebody because Carson Wentz is gone.
Yeah.
And then a fan base that is rallying around the talent. Oh, not to mention, they have a few great draft picks coming up. Like, name up, and you're with the Eagles.
Daniel Jones? Well, are you putting him in that same category where it's like put up or shut up, there's no excuses for Jalen Hurts this year? Like, he's in that world?
Yeah, he has everything he needs. What else do we need him to have? He has a good tight end, good running back. Miles Sanders is fantastic, and wide receiver play is good. So, yeah, I think every quarterback in the NFC East is put up or shut up.
Is this a no excuses year for Jalen Hurts? Kind of.
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question.
I think differently about him and Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, like, you got, like, we gotta go.
Yeah,
Jones is
a super high draft pick, and he's been on the field more. Uh-huh. He's had more experience. Jalen Hurts is like, I still feel like he's still getting his feet wet, and that's why he's such an unknown.
Yeah, he's drafted in the 50s. He wasn't drafted in the top 10. Daniel Jones was drafted in the top 10. Tua was drafted 5. People are like, all right, the expectations are here. This one for Hurts, it's like, I think Eagles fans are like, all right, let's see. You know, I don't think anyone in the Eagles fan base is diehard Hurts or nobody else in the next 10 years. They don't know either. And I think the organization as a whole is under a huge transition year with a new coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, and now this new quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No longer Carson Wentz's team, and Doug Peterson is nowhere to be found.
What we know is that he's a leader. We can all agree on that. We can also all agree leadership not going to stop the Eagles from trying to get another quarterback after this year if he doesn't bring it on the field.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more official podcasts from the NFL, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.